until there's visitors on campus, regular students never applaud for lectionary hours. Well, Luke 16, verses 19 to the end, it's a very well-known parable, the rich man and Lazarus. And I thought I would begin by saying in two ways what the parable is not about and how it should not be preached. It's not about what we can know about the interim state. It's a parable. And it's actually the best example of a truth that actually applies to all the parables. That is, they're not ordinary stories from everyday life. Now, they're set in the first century in Palestine. But they're fictions. I mean, Jesus makes them up. And almost all of the parables have demonstrably exaggerated or even impossible elements. Okay? And so it would actually be, I think, an exegetical mistake, and it could actually also lead to a doctrinal mistake, to try to infer from this parable something about the existence of those who are currently dead in Christ. I mean, just you shouldn't do it. You just can't do it. You'd end up making up stuff. And unfortunately, perhaps pandering to whatever the local piety happens to be, and trying to answer questions that the Scripture just hasn't given us answers to. So, and we're supposed to be happy about that. We're supposed to be interested in the questions that the Bible wants to answer, right? So the other way not to preach this text is as an imperative to take care of the poor. See, this is not about you should take care of poor people. But rather, it's kind of a bookend. I was talking with Dr. Oswald, who did the gospel last week, which was that difficult text of the unjust steward. Okay? So the unjust steward, at least in part, is about a guy who realized, before it was too late, that he was using his life in exactly the wrong way. And he reckoned with the judgment that was coming and responded appropriately. That's what that parable is about. This is a story about a guy who never thought he pushed off the evil day, right, from Amos. And he never saw it coming, and as a result, he was lost. And the issue is possessions. Now, we can't say money or stuff is evil. We can't say that. But we know that the love of it is evil, right? In fact, the root of all evils. And it's dangerous, right? It's actually dangerous. And so there's the Pharisees hovering in the background. You know, Jesus calls them lovers of money, or St. Luke does, verse 14, and so forth. And yet, this is a fairly stern call for probably everyone who hears the parable to ask this question: what is the purpose of my life? You know. And the man in the parable answers the question, or the rich man answers the question: it's to make myself comfortable. You know, it's to pander to my desires, whatever they happen to be. You know? And the parable says, you go down that road, you're going to go to hell. That's what it says. And it's too late for the guy in the story, but there's hope at the end, which makes this a superior lesson to Amos, because there was no hope in Amos 6, 1 to 7. Okay, so it's not about you should be nice to poor people, although as Christians have opportunity, obviously we'll do that. And it's certainly not about the interim state. It's about learning the purpose of life in general. I'd say it that way. Okay. So let's. It's a fairly long text. Let's read it fairly quickly. I'll try to make a few comments as we go along, and then we actually have a creative and I think a very, very powerful suggestion for preaching good news at the end. Sometimes people argue that this isn't a parable. It's true that Jesus doesn't say he told it, or Luke doesn't say he told them a parable. But if you just glance back at 16:1, pretty much everybody understands that unjust steward is a parable, and it begins exactly the same way. In 16:1 we have anthropos tes ein pousaios. A certain man was rich. Here in 16:19 we have a certain man was rich. So I think a strong case can be made this is a parable. It's a fiction that Jesus creates in order to communicate something very important. So, anthropos tes ein pousaios. There was a certain man who was rich. And now an imperfect from en didusko, which you would have to look up, and I did. It means to wear, to attire oneself. And in the middle voice, so en didusketa, he used to, give it a kind of an iterative sense. He used to attire himself in or wear porphyron, purple, which means he can shop at Plaza Frontman. That's what it means, right? Or whatever store you want to pick on. So he used to wear purple and houston. I looked it up. It means fine linen. Eophrynomenos in the passive means simply to be glad. As he was being glad, kathemeron, day by day, lampros, literally, splendidly. Well, it's a little awkward, but it really, I mean, it's a very kind of, I mean, this guy is living high on the hog, you know, as they would say, Chris, where you are from, right? Contrast. See, Luke's gospel, as you know, is all about he brings down the mighty from their thrones and he exalts those of low degree. So now we have the contrast. So, kostetis, anamati lazaras, and, or but, a certain poor man with respect to the name Lazarus. Now, this is actually, you don't see many pluperfects, but you can see the duplication of that and the augment in front of that. This is from Balo, the cast, and it's a pluperfect indicative passive, third singular. And a certain rich man had been and was in a cast condition. At the gates of him, the rich man's gate, this next participle, it's a perfect participle passive from el ka'o. It means to cover with sores. That's perfect passive. So, and he had been covered with sores and present them. He kept on longing to be filled from the things that were falling from the table of the rich guy. Okay, this is the scene. And now, if that weren't bad enough, the poor man's condition is painted with even stronger contrast. Allah kai hakines er hamanoi ep ele kan ta elke autu. But even the dogs, as they came, or used to come, and used to lick the sores of him. You could hardly paint a stronger contrast. Now, Reed said something that I think is very important here, and that is, you can presume the context of the Old Testament faith, because this is not talking about a rich guy and a poor guy in Athens, right? This is in the context of Israel, right? And so the people in Amos should have known better. They went to church every day, right, or every Sunday. And so this is, again, not talking about taking care of poor people. It's in the context of the community of faith. You have one guy who's living for himself and another guy who has nothing. Okay? Now verse 22. This is, Luke likes to use this Semitism. It's vayehi, and it came to pass then that, again it's a debt, and it happened that apophanein, the poor guy, died indeed. It's a present infinitive active, maybe it's emphatic. And the poor man is the accusative case subject of the infinitives, apophanein, and then the one that follows, ap en ekthenai. This is from apophero. And he was carried away by the angels into the bosom, or the, you know, the thorax, the chest, the hugging place, if you will, of Abraham. Now, apethanen, kai, apusios, kai, etape. reversal is taking place, right? And now we get into what you'd have to say, at least as far as we know from Holy Scripture, is really, you know, we don't know anything about this condition, and I personally would not recommend basing any doctrines on the following verses, but it makes the point. Kayente hade, ep irox usalpha musel tu, if arcod en mazan ois, hara abraham ap matrophen kai lazaron en tois kalpois al tu. And in Hades, he, now the reference will be the rich man. Epiros is from epiro, it's an aorist participle, active, masculine singular nominative. Lifted up the eyes of him, woodenly, being in torments. And now we finally get to the main verb. This is from horao, because it's alpha contract, that explains the circumflex. It doesn't look like O-H-A, you know, your typical endings, but because of the vowel contraction. This is just a present indicative active third singular. He sees Abraham from a distance. Oh, that's bad news. And Lazarus in, now it's plural for no particular reason, in his bosom. Verse 24. And he, some emphasis, altas, and he, crying out, said, Pater Abraham, Eleison man, Kai Pemson Lazaron, in a Bopse, San Akron, to Doctilu, Autu, Hidakas, Kai Kata, Tuxe, Tain, Mosan, Mu, Adi Adunomai, and Te, Flakitaute. Calling out, he said, Father Abraham, mercy me, and send Lazarus, purpose, in order that he might dip with a finger, you don't have a corner or a top, but the tip of his dactylos, his finger, literally you dip something of water, but we translate in water, and that he might cool off my tongue, because I am in torment in this fire. Verse 25. Aben de Abraham, and Abraham said, Tekton, child, Nasate said, this is actually from Mimneskomai, which you might not ever guess. It's a deponent verb, a passive deponent. This is the aorist imperative passive second singular, the thin ending. You wouldn't actually remember that unless you had taught elementary Greek a bunch of times. And it has an active meaning, just remember. Remember that from Apolombano, you received the good things of you, your good things, in your life, and Lazarus, likewise, the kaka, the bad things. But now, here, harakaleta, he is being consoled, being encouraged, but you are tormenting. By the way, morphologically, remember, you usually, if you remember the endings for the middle passive, it's my, a, pi. But there's a psi ending that sometimes shows up. Well, actually, you sometimes see it on a form, and that's what we've got here. The psi is the second singular indicative ending. Oduna psi. Now, of course, again, we have to understand, poor people don't get saved just because they're poor, as dogs lick their arms or something. You know, we assume that this is one of the poor of the land who cast all of his hope upon Yahweh and trusted in him for salvation. The point of the matter is that the rich man didn't. And the sign of it was he lived his life to gratify his own pleasure. That's what he did. Okay? Verse 26. And in connection with all these things, metaxuhimon, between us and you, notice that it's plural. You know, there's other people with him down there in Hades, right? Kosma mega es de rictai. This is from Steridzo. It's a perfect passive form. A great chasm, kosma means chasm, isn't that helpful? Has been and is fixed. Hapos plus the subjunctive. In order that those who wish to go over from Diabino, from here to you, ne dinontai, are not able, nor from there to us do they cross over, dia perao. so they actually answer that you can't move from one condition to the other. You know, it's too late. The way a person lives one's life is the real thing. Right? In a way, I mean, you can understand what people mean when they say this, like, this is just preparation for, you know, what's to come. But that's not actually quite right. This is the real deal. See? Because what's to come, of course, is not just a disembodied existence. I have to bring this up, of course. But a resurrected existence in the new heavens and the new earth. See? So it's not like I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. I'm but a stranger here, but this is my home, and it's screwed up, and Christ is coming back and he's going to fix it, which doesn't scan very well metrically. So you can't sing that, right? Well, actually, if you wanted to, that would be fine. Verse 27, now that the rich man replied, but he said, Eroto, from Erotau, I ask you then, Father Abraham, after verbs of exhortation or asking, a hina clause is often about the same as a hati clause. So he's not asking him for a purpose, he's asking him this, namely that, it's the aorist subjunctive active second singular, that you send him to the house of my father, because I have five brothers. Send him in order that he might solemnly testify to them, in order that they also might not come into this place of torture. Abraham's historical presence says, they have Moses and the prophets. Akusato san auto. They have the testimony of God's word. Let them listen. And you can often akuo to something in the genitive, which is why auton is genitive. Well, you know, you could stop there. And then the congregation would look at you and say, what then shall we do? And the congregation would say, and the pastor would say, let us together continue to listen to the testimony of God's word about the purpose of life. And let us turn away from the American dream of consumerism and self-indulgence. And let us live our lives following Christ who loves us. You could stop there, couldn't you? But Luke gives us more, right? Verse 30. But he said, Lazarus said, he, Father Abraham, no, Father Abraham. But, aeontis aponekron ore tu pros autus meta doesus. That's the problem, they haven't repented, and neither did the rich man. But if someone from corpses should come or travel to them, they will repent. Verse 31. There's a lot going on here, I think, but we don't have time for it all. Even Dauto, he said to him, E Moiseus kai ton propeton uk akutusim ud eantis ek nekron anaste. Peace days in fact. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, again in the genitive, because akuo can take a genitive object, neither if someone anesthemes rises from the dead, will they be persuaded? Get it? And, well, this is the narrative of Luke, and you know where the narrative is headed, right? Toward Jesus, who allows the self-serving, money-worshipping, self-indulging world to crucify him. See? Jesus actually allowed that world to do to him whatever it wanted to. See? But the good news is that God raised him from the dead. See? And we not only have the testimony of Moses and the prophets, but someone actually did rise from the dead. And brothers and sisters, let us repent from our tendency to think that the purpose of life is live to gratify our desires, whatever comes along. Let us turn away from that and follow Christ. Do you see why this is not a story about being nice to poor people? It's a lot bigger than that, right? See? It's a huge story. It's an invitation to a Christocentric orientation of life, and that this is, and it's it's a great opportunity to invite, you know, Christians, and if there's non-Christians that are in the worshiping congregation, this is a virtual altar call, right? And it's a great opportunity to preach it in that way. But if you get bogged down in the details or in thinking that it's about being nice to poor people, then I think you miss a great opportunity to preach a very powerful text. So, and now it's about 1:00, and so we have a couple of minutes. I think the session's starting at 1:15, so we have time to move around. I don't know if anybody had any questions about either the Amos lesson, read, or about Luke chapter 16. Anything. We got a nice crowd here today. It's good to see old friends back and new friends here. So, anything at all. Okay, very good.